5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. How many of you got the notes to this message, by the way? If you get your notes, you know, you can read over that, and you can kind of see the skeleton, I guess, of the message. But I do that so that you can kind of get insight into the message before we even get started. But I want you to know this morning that everything that the Holy Spirit has said and done, it all, he is just bringing it all together. This thing about loving one another, despite what we've done, despite of our past, despite of our skin color, despite of our education, despite of maybe, you know, doctrines and things that you may have been brought up in, God wants you to know that we are all one body in the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And when there's no schism in the body can do great things. And not only that, when we're worshiping together like this, when we have that mindset and that attitude, the Holy Spirit will come in our presence as a body. And we will see the glory of God. We will see the cloud visibly, physically come into this place. And we will see signs and demonstrations. We will see the fire from heaven. And people will walk by and they'll say, there's on fire. There's fire in that place. And they'll know that the Spirit of God is here. Because we want to be all in one accord in unity. And that's when the Spirit of God really moves. When there is unity among the believers. And the Holy Spirit is trying to get us into that vein right now. That we are one. We are one. We are one. Not a color, not a race, not a doctrine. We are one. The banner of Jesus, we are a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. He is not a color. You are a spirit. You are not a color. This is only a cocoon. This is only a suit. It is not really you. Hallelujah. Because God is a God of the world. He so loved the world. He's a God of Africa. He's a God of Russia. He's a God of China. He's the God of Istanbul. The world. He loves the world. Hallelujah. We're seeing God move in a mighty way, and he is moving in a very mighty way. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the word spirit with a little s is first. That is no coincidence. He placed most importance on that first listing of spirit. We are a triune being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in this earthly body. Many people do not distinguish between the spirit and the soul, but they can be distinguished. You are a spirit, no color. You are a spirit. You live in this earthly body, and you have a soul. Unfortunately, many of the churches today, they're focusing on the soul, which is the emotions, the mind, the will, you know, but in the flesh, we all know what the flesh is. Sometimes you go into a church today and you think you're in some type of a, you know, a musical or something, you know, smoke machines and skinny jeans. We're not focusing on the flesh, we're focusing on the spirit. And the Lord gave me this analogy. Think about an egg. I grew up in the Midwest, and my grandparents lived on a farm, and sometimes I have to go out and gather the eggs. Anybody here ever do that?
Yes.
You gather the eggs?
Yes.
And sometimes I would drop those eggs. And they weren't very happy when I did that. But I would come back and I'd get the eggs from the chicken house.
Yes.
And if you look at an egg, there are three parts to that egg. You start at the yolk. The yolk is in the center.
Yes.
That's where life begins. Yeah. And around that yolk is the egg whites. That's the second stage. And around that is the shell. There are three parts to an egg. And you know, different shells. I've seen white shells. I've seen brown shells. I've seen gray shells. I've seen all kinds of shells. Spotted shells. Freckly shells. But that's only the outward. But God wants you to know this morning that we are all yolks. And we are yoked together. We're all the same in the spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in this earthly body. You are really a spirit. The Lord has mandated upon my ministry is that he said, teach my people who they are in me. Their victory, their spiritual authority. Teach them who they are, what they have, and where they are seated. Teach them that they are a spirit. They have a soul, and they live in this earthly body. Teach them how to train, feed, and exercise their spirit man so they can navigate in this world and live successfully and live that abundant life that Jesus talked about. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And in order to do that, we need to be spirit-led and be more conscious of our inner man than our outer man. How do you do that? You feed the inner man with the Word of God. You exercise the inner man by walking by faith and doing things by faith. When an unction comes to you, step out. That's the way you grow spiritually. You exercise that inner man, the inner man on the inside. I do like this because you've heard this said before. I have a gut feeling. Yeah. Well, I just have something down here in my gut. Well, then the Holy Spirit, your inner man, is right here, the center.
Yes.
The center. I'll take a little sidetrack here. Do you know that Israel is the navel of the world? Yes. The center?
Yes.
Did you know that? Isn't that interesting? The state of Israel is the very center. And we need to understand that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. And if you listen, and if you walk by faith and walk by the Spirit of God, then you can avoid things in your life that otherwise would trip you up. You can see things ahead where you can avoid, and you can do things the Holy Spirit will show you to prosper you, to have you walk in health, to have you walk, live long and finish strong. Amen? He wants you to live in health. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to grow. He wants you to live long and finish strong. He wants your eyes not to grow dim. He wants you to be thriving,
yeah,
not just surviving.
Yeah.
He wants you to be a living stone. Yeah. He wants you to be a living fire on this earth. He wants people to just look at you and say, something's different about them.
Yeah.
They've been with Jesus. Something looks different about them. They look different. They have a glow. They have a joy. They have a victory.
Yeah.
I want to know what they're doing. I want to know what they're doing. Not so much what church you're going to, but what are you doing? Well, we've been with Jesus.
Yes.
I see Jesus. And I tell you, lately, people must have been praying for me. They must be praying for me, because when I first got born again, I was in that hospital room, and I saw Jesus standing before me. I mean, he was there in his form. I couldn't exactly see everything, but his outline, he was there, his hair, and his form, and I let him into my heart. And just recently, I've been just so hungry to get back to that, and now I can see him just like I was then when I was born again. And oh, what a joy it is to know that he's walking with you, he's beside you, he's never left you. Oh, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my advocate. He's my intercessor. He's my standby. He's my strengthener. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. And when I got born again and I got filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, I'm not ashamed to say that tongues are for today. And you know why the devil fights it so much? Because your spirit man is praying. And you can become more conscious of your inner man than your outer man when you pray in your prayer language. It means building yourself up like a battery.
Yes.
Do not forsake praying in your prayer language.
Amen.
Brother Hagin was such a spiritual giant to me. He was so, I just really followed his faith. Not that I follow a man, but I follow his faith. And many times he'd be walking down the halls of Rhema, and people would walk by him, and he'd be walking, praying in the Holy Ghost, and he wouldn't even know you were there. And people thought that he was very, rude, but he was just in another realm. He was in the spirit realm, praying in the Holy Ghost, because he had a lot of things that he had to do, with the Bible college and with all the things. So he was praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in your prayer language, see, the devil hates it because he can't understand what you're saying.
Right.
When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying 1-900 heaven. You're praying for mysteries unto God. You're praying for people that you never even thought of in your mental. We can only pray so much in our understanding, but we can pray in a deeper level, in a glorious level, in the Spirit of God. And you're praying 1-900 heaven, Holy Ghost prayer. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost dwells on the inside of us. The Bible says one of my favorite scriptures that I learned when I got born again was 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If we can understand and live in this, that you're a new creature, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. He doesn't see your past. All these testimonies, we've all had pasts. We've all had things that have happened to us. Bad things, good things, things that we don't talk about, things that nobody knows about us, things that we hide in church. We get dressed up all nice, and we smile, and we come in, we smile, and we leave. But you know what? The Holy Ghost knows, and every one of us has a testimony of something that Jesus delivered us from. Every one of us have something that God has done something tremendously. He's delivered us. Old things were passed away. Jesus said in John 3:3, and he told Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Yes.
You must be born again. He told Nicodemus. Was that God? Who was that? Come in. And then again, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:14, when I pray in the Spirit, what? My what? Spirit man My spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth. When you pray in your prayer language, I'm not talking about in the company of believers. You know that when someone prays in the Holy Ghost, someone interprets it. That's reasonable. That's very understandable so that everyone can understand. But in your prayer time, when you're alone with God, you can pray in tongues, pray in your prayer language, and you get such great results. Not only are you praying mysteries about yourself and about your future, you're praying to build yourself up like a battery. We need the power of God in these last days. Yes. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in these last days that we live in. Things are happening right now that are so unbelievable. We would never have thought we'd live in this time that we're living on the edge of the coming of Jesus Christ. We're living right on the edge, and things are happening in crazy things right now. And things are happening, and so we need to be conscious that we're so close. But being built up in the inner man, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yes. Where does he dwell? He dwells inside our spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself, better translated himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And then again in Romans 8:14, we're led by the Spirit on the inside. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Remember this, the Holy Spirit leads us. He doesn't push us. I've said this before, I'll say it again. If you are being pushed, if you are being pushed into something, that's the time to stand and wait and pray. Never make a decision when you are in a hurry, when you're tired, when you're being pushed. Never make a decision like that. Always wait till you're rested and refreshed and pray. Because you've heard me say it before, if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow.
Right.
If it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. It's okay to wait. If somebody won't wait, if somebody's trying to pressure you and you say, well, wait, let me think about that, let me pray about it, they say, no. You got a sign right here. I would say, bye-bye. Because if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow.
That's right.
Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When you are absent from this body, and I've done many glorious celebrations of life when saints have gone before us, and I'm looking at maybe the body is there, but that's not them. That's not them. That's only the earth suit. That's only the cocoon. The fact is, when you're absent from this body, you're present with the Lord. I've been in the presence of people in the hospitals where I prayed and said, well, are you ready to go? They said, yeah. They're ready to go. Well, go on, go then. You have my permission. Go on. And I hear this. That's the pneuma. That's the air. That's the breath. And they're gone. See, the real you is not the outside. That's why the Spirit of God is saying this morning. It's not the outward man. We've got to get past that. We've got to get past the outer, the color. The color. Everybody's different. Everybody looks different. Isn't it amazing? It's like, it's been often said, it's like snowflakes. Everybody's different. Look around. Everyone is so different. Everybody is different. There's no two people exactly alike. Even identical twins, there's something a little different about them. But we're all different on the outside, but we're all one in the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. This, why is it so important for us to concentrate, number one, on the spirit of man? Because that's where you bear the fruit. The fruit comes from on the inside. It says in John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much, what?
Fruit.
For without me, you can do nothing. So when you are abiding in the Word, that's what the Word is. That's, you're abiding in the Word. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that's the fruit. Heirs of promise, we are bringing our fruit back to God.
That's right.
We want to bring fruit back to God. That's our mission. If somebody wanted to say, well, what is your mission? We want to say, we want to bring as much fruit back to God as we can. We want to bring as much fruit back to God. And give him all the praise.
Right.
No, it's not so much, we have people speaking in tongues or swinging from the chandeliers or running the aisles and jumping on pews. If you don't see love, all that goes out the window.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Amen.
We want the love of God. And what is the love of God? Doesn't look on the outside. Doesn't look on the outside. But it looks on the inside, the Spirit of God. And that's why Jesus is so universal. That's why in the end days we're going to see a church rising up under the banner of Jesus.
Yes.
Under the banner of Jesus.
Yes.
And it says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. We grow up spiritually. If you come to Heirs of Promise, I'm sure you've grown up.
Yes.
You have to grow up spiritually. Don't remain a baby or don't remain a youth or a child, but we grow up into maturity. One of the, you know, we have to grow up in our love walk and not get offended. You know, we get so offended. It's easy to get offended, but we cannot grow spiritually if we keep getting offended. Offense is the tool of the enemy that he throws fiery darts in order for us to get so consumed with offense that we turn against the church, we turn against Christians, we turn against, you know, everything. So we've got to forgive and release people. How do you release people? Out loud, whenever you can, tell them by name, say, I forgive them, I bless, forgive, and release them. Or I like to say in that commercial, that Super Bowl commercial with those frogs, let her go, Louie. Let her go. Let her go, Louie. Let her go. Sometimes you got to just let her go. Let it go. Because that offense will consume. It will just become a roaring flame and pretty soon a forest fire. So that is why the Apostle Paul listed the spirit first. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Let's look at the soul now. The soul and the spirit are like marrow and bone. Okay? We looked at the egg, you have the yolk, the egg white, and then the shell. Well, your soul and spirit are very similar to a marrow, a bone and marrow. And let's see what the Word of God says in Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, over here, here it is, of what? Soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow. So isn't that interesting that he compared the soul to marrow and the spirit to the spirit to marrow and the soul to the joints. So your bones in your body are filled with marrow. Marrow is the substance filled with blood, nutrients that's inside the bone. Do you remember doing that experiment when you were kids, maybe in school biology, where they took a wishbone and you put it in vinegar? Anybody remember that? Where don't you go to school? Wishbone? In Iowa. Okay. Okay, well, I want you to try this today then. Give a piece of chicken a wishbone and soak it in vinegar, and it will become rubber. It will become rubberized. You won't be able to break it. We have nurses, doctors. All right, you check me out then. You make sure, like Laodicea in church, make sure I'm, but it makes it rubbery because it takes away all the, you didn't know that as a nurse? Okay. Anyway, there's marrow inside. The marrow inside the bone is what gives life to the bone. That's the point I wanted to make. So too, the spirit of man gives life to your soul. All right? Now, part of your soul, here's what your soul is made up of. Your will, your emotions, your intellect. See, you can train and you can feed your soul. Many people go to seminary, they go to college, and they feed their soul. They have dates and they have all kinds of knowledge. That's feeding your soul, your thoughts, and you can memorize things, and you can feed, you know, get very adapted feeding your soul, your thoughts. But that's not feeding your inner man. See, to feed the inner man is to feast on the Word of God. Feast on the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God. Thinking about the Word of God. Acting on the Word of God. So your soul can be separated with the Word of God. That's why when you are in the Word, you'll be able to distinguish between what is your thoughts and just natural thoughts and what is your inner man. That's what discerns it. That's what separates it. So we need to separate that by being in the Word. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's revelation that comes when you're in the Word, because the Word divides the spirit and the soul. God's Word is sharper and powerful than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then he said, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, what sort of things are true, what sort of things are honest, what sort of things are just, what sort of things are pure, what sort of things are lovely, what sort of things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think. Say think.
Think.
That word think in the Greek means take an inventory. Take an inventory of what you're thinking about. If you're thinking all day about, you know, just your bills and, oh no, this is happening, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, well then, you got to cast that down. Think on things that are true, honest, just, pure. And how do you do that? By speaking the Word. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. Because he went on to say to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing, every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. So we have to do something with our thought life, with our soulish realm. It has to be renewed with the Word of God. We have to be transformed with the renewing of our mind with the Word of God. So your soul and your spirit can be distinguished. Now, everybody probably in here knows about what the flesh is, what our body is. Your body is just going to do what it wants to do unless you can control it. You know, somebody said, oh, that piece of blueberry pie, the devil made me go to that refrigerator and eat a piece of that blueberry pie. No, the devil didn't do it. It was your flesh.
That's right.
It's your flesh that did it. And Paul said, he said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and which you have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, your body has five physical senses, or organs of perception, that we have to navigate in this realm. And those are touch, taste, hear, see, and smell. We call them five physical senses. And you can learn things in this life by your five physical senses. In other words, think about this. A child that goes up to a stove, it's on, and the burner is white hot, and the child goes up to it and goes, oh, what a nice hot, you know what? They're not going to do that again. They're not, because they're going to remember. So that was a test. They're not going to forget that anymore. I remember when I was 5 years old and I put my hand on it. I didn't do that, but if a child does that, they're not going to forget. So experience is a teacher. It's not the best teacher, but it is a teacher. How many of us have gone through things and we've learned through experience not to do that? Oh, wow, I'm not going to do that. I know what the result of that is, so I'm not going to do that. And so we have five physical senses. But I want you to really study this and check this out. Check me out, because I believe that inner man also has senses. Okay? And here's a scripture, Hebrews 5:13-14. And I want you to study this at home this week. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby Christian. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age or maturity spiritually, even those who by reason of use have their senses, look at that, exercised to discern both good and evil. That word senses in the Greek is organs of perception. So if you can study this yourself and realize that the inner man, just like the outer man has senses, the inner man has senses to discern. When a thought comes to your thought life, your inner man says, whoop, that's not of God. That doesn't agree with Philippians 4:8. Right?
Yes.
You can discern, that's not right, that's not of God. The devil says, eat that apple. Eat that. do that. But on the inside, no, don't do that. No, you got to learn the senses on the inside, right? See, we have to remember that when we're absent from this body, we're present with the Lord, and we're going to see Jesus. We're going to walk with Him. Right? We're going to sing all the time. So don't worry if you can't sing down here, you're going to be able to sing up there. Make a joyful noise.
Amen.
And there's going to be a celebration. Oh, there's no darkness. There's no shadow.
Yes.
It's light all the time. Oh, it's glory. Hallelujah. And so that's where we're going. But we're going to see Jesus, but we're not going to see with our physical eyes. No, because that's going to be down here. But we're going to see Him with our spirit man. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. But right now, we're supposed to be here on this earth to share the gospel while we're in these earthen vessels. We have to be in these earthen vessels to share the gospel with others around us and be a witness. And so that is our senses, organs of perception. Now, if you've ever had this happen to you, but when I was in pain, and when I am in pain, when my body is racked with pain, I'm going through something, that distracts me. From the Word. Anybody else?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, the last thing I want to do when I was in pain is get into the Word.
Yes.
That's the last thing I want to do. Or get in prayer. I mean, really, it's a distraction. And the enemy will attack our bodies many times to get us away from getting to the Word. That's the enemy. He wants to attack your body so you get distracted. Right? But we know that. That's why it's so good to receive healing. So that we can, it's okay to feel good. Okay? It's okay to feel okay. Right? It's good. It's great to feel good. Because if you've ever felt like I told somebody one day, I said, I just really go on to be with the Lord. I felt so bad. But isn't it good when you're healed? And you just, oh, the healing virtue flows in your body. It's just, you can't put a price on that. And the peace of God, I mean, there's just joy, praise the Lord. So Paul said this, that the inner man now, as we've talked about, you can say no to things. Say no to that blueberry pie, or whatever pie you like. But it says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, but I keep under my body. I keep my body under. I keep my body under. And bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So here he's talking about, we're talking about controlling the appetites of the flesh. Well, Paul said, I had to put my body under. I had to put my body under. Right? Sometimes you've got to steer your head away from looking at some things. You know, you've got to just make a willful effort. You know, your will is very important.
Yes.
Right.
Your will is very important. Many people, they stop smoking, not because they're a Christian, but not because somebody prayed over them, but they had their will. Got involved with their spirit, and they said, no, I will not, right? So your will is very, very important. So the will, see, when you get your spirit involved with your will, it brings life, and you have strength to say no.
Yeah.
You have strength to say no, right? Oh, I got kind of quiet in here. But anyway, you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in this earthly body. Right? And so we all saw this morning from the very beginning how the Holy Spirit was saying we are all one in the Spirit. We're all one. We're not a color. No matter how much education you have, we're all one in the body of Christ. And when we get that mindset, the Spirit of God will really begin to fall and hover in this place. And we'll see signs and wonders and demonstrations.
Right.
It'll just bust out of these walls and we will be ready in time to get into our huge building, our building that is waiting for us.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. Let's all raise our hands. And let's give all the glory and honor to Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We honor you.